Item number 13, 2014 adopted budget amendment 1C002 from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting approval of a retention package for employees affected by the restructuring of the Behavioral Health Division. This item was also referred to the Committee on Health and Human Needs. On April 16, 2014, that committee tabled the item by a vote of 4-0.
Mr. Chairman, I move concurrence.
Supervisor Romo West moves to concur with the action of the Health and Human Needs Committee, which was to table. Thank you.
Okay. You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing, but you can't concur.
Oh, I move to table the item.
Okay.
If I could just...
Supervisor Romas.
Thank you very much. As all of us are aware, you know, due to changes in the state legislature, Milwaukee County Board no longer has control over the functions out at BHD. There's obviously a lot of gray area here, but one of the items that we were, that Corporation Council has been pretty clear on, at least at the last two presentations that I've been at, is that we no longer have say over the staffing out at BHD, and that the staff out at BHD is in this quasi-state/county mode that we've seen before with income maintenance. And that being said, I don't believe that it's proper for this board to make a decision that uses both land sales and contingency funds to fund something out at BHD. And so if the mental health board, once it is up and running, has their meeting and decides that this is something that they believe should be done, they can come and ask the board then for these contingency funds and for these land sale. But seeing as how the Behavioral Health Division has become within the last week a it's no longer a county department. It's more of a like I said, a quasi-county state entity. And so that being said, I just don't think this is an appropriate use of our contingency and our land sale funds. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I do appreciate the work that was done by the department in getting this number down to a not to exceed $500,000, because as my colleagues probably don't need to be reminded, this was a $1 million price tag in the 2014 budget, and much to the disdain of the administration, this particular body voted to not put that funding into the budget. And ask them to go back to the table and to come up with something different. And so now I know if Mr. Kubitschek was here, he would tell you that that $500,000 for him seems to be a way off mark, because in reality, the majority of the employees that are out on those units have seniority. And so using civil service rules, they will be able to bump the newer employees. And this benefit actually will be given to new employees who are being bumped by people who have higher seniority than they are, than they do. So thank you for allowing me to elaborate, Mr. Chair.
Well, and I was looking at the agenda. Did I hear you just say, Supervisor, that some employees who have less seniority than others will be able to bump?
No, senior. Those employees with seniority who are still left working when these units are closed, mm-hmm, will be able to go in and bump employees that have less seniority.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's the way civil service rules work. And as far as I know, although Corporation Council, I don't think any of us are 100% clear, but we do believe that civil service rules do still apply to the employees out at BHD. Although that is a little bit of the gray area that this new legislation has created, so we're not entirely sure.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Cullen?
Mr. Chair, I share Supervisor Romo West's concerns. We have new legislation that basically says this new board is going to run BHD. The state decided that. The state gave an unelected board essentially taxing authority, and as in the legislation says then that the county board has to adopt whatever taxation that they recommend. We'll see if that comes to pass. I mean, I don't. As I said on Friday, the IGR meeting, if this board, if the new mental health board asks us to raise our tax levy by $10 million, who's going to hold a gun to my head and make me take that vote?
Right.
So, you know, we may have some issues. But if the state wants to take it over, they can take it over. If the state wants to run BHD, they can run BHD. And, you know, these are county contingency funds that I think can be used for other purposes. And I support Supervisor Roman West's motion to table this.
Thank you, Supervisor. Staff, do you have anything to add, offer? Okay, Mr. Bargren or Mr. Grady, do you have anything to offer as it relates to the transitioning between this mental health board? And we know that the law has been signed, but nevertheless, if this board has not met, if its members have not been chosen yet, then in effect, a part of our government is in limbo, at least for a while. At least that's my perception of what's going on. So I'd like somebody to give me some clarity. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Barber.
Sure, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Situation is that the bill took effect, new statutes took effect last Thursday. One of the provisions, or several of the provisions actually in the new statutes, say in various terminology that the county board no longer has jurisdiction over mental health. That provision took effect, those provisions took effect on Thursday. Granted, the new board has not yet met. The interpretation that was offered by LRB, or perhaps the Ledge Council, is that since the county board was a policy-making body, and since the mental health board will be a policy-making body, day-to-day operations have been within the control of the BHD department, and BHD will continue to control its day-to-day operations until the new board convenes. So there is no direct policy-making body in place right now, and there won't be for about 60 days. But in the meantime, BHD is to operate on a day-to-day basis as it has been.
Thank you, Mr. Margaret. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Mr. Chair, so and just to be clear, BHD was always in the role of day-to-day operation. The county board never had day-to-day control of the operations.
Right. I will say that's the assumption of the legislature, yes, apparently.
That's the assumption of the legislature.
That we had, day-to-day control? I know no one reported to me.
The county board did not have day-to-day control.
Oh, I was going to say, I know nobody reported to me.
I never was under the misconception that I had day-to-day control.
No.
But I would question whether the issue of the policy-making body, whether this is the policy that we're adopting or this is a fiscal issue that we're considering here. I mean, the bottom line is, no matter who's making the decision about what we're going to do relative to retention, if there's no money to do anything for retention, I mean, we're still the only body that could appropriate the money and transfer the money at this point. So,
that's the gray area.
I mean, a couple of points. Retention policies or practices would now be up to BHD and in a couple months up to the Mental Health Board once it's appointed. Funding them, absent any contribution from this board, is up to BHD and the Mental Health Board to live within the budget that it has, and to, if it wants to do a retention program out of that money that it has, it can do that. If it doesn't have money available now for a retention plan, that's a decision that the new governance will have to make as a policy matter. what I believe the posture of this resolution now would be that the county board would decide this is a worthy effort, we should support it, and we realize the BHD may need some more money, so we're sending this money out to BHD and the Mental Health Board to use toward a retention plan. It's a voluntary contribution, I would say, by the board, by the county board, if the board went ahead with it.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I'm troubled by, I mean, I understand that we don't quite know the lay of the land here, but on the other hand, we do know that the closures are scheduled. There's a staffing crisis out there. Quite frankly, I think we've talked more about the retention package than about anything else. I think the administration has been delinquent in not doing more in terms of using temporary or visiting nurses or whatever they're going to need to do. I think specifically the county executive has been reckless. I think his statements the other day about, you know, he's the man and he can do anything to the employees, I think that did more than $500,000 of damage to our ability to retain employees through the transition. I think it can't be overstated how reckless those comments were. Hope he feels good about it, but it creates turmoil within our staff. It was improper and ill-advised. I'm not sure who suggested that he should make such statements. But that said, I'm not comfortable holding it to the call of the chair at this time. Maybe I can be convinced, but I feel that to not do something when we know that there's a staffing transition that must occur, this isn't news to us. I understand we can say, well, it's the state's problem now, but I don't think that's all that clear, that it's just their problem. I don't think the transition is, you know, as poorly implemented as it was. We're still in the standpoint that these are our employees, our facility, and until the transition occurs, we're responsible for maintaining an operation out there. Thanks.
Supervisor Bowen and Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to, you know, touch on the points that Supervisor Lipscomb brought up. When, as somebody that's on Health and Human Needs Committee and looking into the plan that was brought to us, it lacks a lot of information in specifics about which employees will have access to the retention bonus. And knowing that, you know, we've been going through the process of reclassifying a number of positions, a lot in BHD, and people that work on the ground with patients have been left out. Especially CNAs and registered nurses in those reclassifications and things of that nature. That staffing problem that you refer to was built up over time. And even the company that the division worked with to help out with staffing when they lacked in bringing forth the employees that they needed, they didn't hold them accountable, and yet we're paying them a substantial amount of money to help us, you know, solve the staffing problem. So essentially what's in front of you is a $500,000 check that says I get to pick who I want to retain. And knowing the amount of employees that I know that have issues in the system of county government and some people being promoted, others being pushed out, that have been around or earned their tenure for years, I'm not comfortable just giving a $500,000 check so that some employees can be retained. And it's not clear. The information that's always been lacking from the administration to clearly see, I guess, their intentions. So I think the new board and Corporation Council can correct me. They will be in effect in about 2 months, and they'll be formed. That plan, if they're comfortable having that lack of information, but still like the plan that's in front of us, they can approve that plan. And they can move forward with a retention bonus program that's very selective to who can get access to it. So I think it's just, it's in our purview to allow the new board to make the decision. And I would just stand by for that opportunity, not negating our responsibility, but the new board making the decision on what to move forward with, because as the plan that they've brought to me, it's just not enough for me to say that that is the right move that will all of a sudden solve our staffing problem.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. It's always tricky when you have management and you have employees. With these laws that have been recently enacted, Act 10, Act 14, and now the laws related to the Behavioral Health Division Board and other laws that have been put forward by this current legislature and the previous one, which is dominated by conservatives. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to state a fact as to what has happened. And it seems that employees are the ones who get the short end of the stick. I know that we have had efforts to retain nurses and to recruit and retain nurses and other staff members. So at this particular time, I would like to hear from...
Supervisor?
Yes.
I just wanted to add quickly, I think this is the reality check. So the reality check is that this mental health board can come in and they can do whatever they want to do. So I'm sure that the county executive believes that everything is on schedule as planned, but that's not the case. And so this is actually putting the cart before the horse, because as you will remember, that during the budget, the issues that this board had with BHD's budget were issues that were brought forward to us by medical professionals.
Yeah.
And so this board will be of medical professionals. So it is naive to believe that we're going to have this mental health board come in and that the closures will take place as planned without a capacity study, and that, you know, everything that's on track right now will remain on track. That's just absolutely not the case. At least we have nothing that says that is. The same thing with mental health redesign. If the new board comes in and decides that what's being done or what is done or what's on track with mental health redesign is not what their vision is or is not in the best interest of the consumers in Milwaukee County, that won't happen. The same thing is, you know, with everything else. So to put a retention plan in place, not knowing what the new board will do, not knowing whether or not these closures will actually happen in the time frame that's currently been laid out, I think to me is premature. And so I think we need to let the mental health board come in, review what's being done, what is on the table right now, and then let them make the decisions as to how it is that this will be carried forward. Because again, we right now, or BHD right now, has a plan in place. That does not mean that that plan will remain in place. Because the mental health board, again, is medical professionals. And the medical professionals that we heard from during budget had a very different idea as to what was the best pace and way to carry out these closures. And so, again, this is, you know, we're in a whole different realm now, but the reality is that the mental health board can come in and do what they like. And so that being the case, I think that we need to leave those options open for them to decide whether or not this $500,000 may not be necessary, because the board may come in and say, hey, you know what, we're not closing any more units, this because the letter that we received from, was it four or five of the major hospital systems in Milwaukee County that we received in November during the budget stated that they do not support the closure of any more units until they got a capacity study done. So I have a strong inkling, a strong suspicion that this new mental health board that has mental health professionals on it will probably feel the same way. And so, again, the time frame that exists today, in 30 days or 90 days from now when this new board gets instituted, may not be the same. And so that being the case, this is another tool that they will have in their toolbox should they decide to move forward. But that, again, to me, there's nothing is, you know, unfortunately for BHD, for the administration, for the director, nothing is solid. Nothing is, because there has to be agreement between the county executive and this new mental health board. And again, during the budget, we saw that there was disagreement between mental health professionals and what was being put forward. And so I don't want to, you know, rain on anybody's parade. Supervisor Bowen did bring up some excellent points. The first one being is that these staffing issues have existed for a while. The second one being is that if you're going to walk into BHD and tell people that you are going to be closing units down, you best have a ready plan for what you're going to do with your employees. And that did not happen here. The county executive came in 20 minutes before he was announcing it to all of Milwaukee County and said, oh, yes, we're going to do this great thing. It's going to close these units. By the way, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with you guys, but we'll get back to you. Get back to you was 6 months later. So people had already, I mean, again, adding to the staffing issue that already existed, you then told people that you were going to be closing units. People started leaving. I'm guessing right now that you're going to have more people leaving, because right now it's very clear that we are being postured for a state takeover. When that state takeover happens, you have two major unions out at BHD, one of whom just watched their income maintenance workers get screwed in a state takeover. So they will not be, you know, sitting around waiting, if you will, to get, you know, to get screwed again by the state takeover of BHD. And it's just a matter of time. So Supervisor or Representative Sanfilippo, if he could have sold a state takeover to the legislature at this particular moment in time, would have done that. He couldn't. And so he went the next best route, which is he's going to do an audit, he's going to do some research, and then he's going to take that research back to the state legislature and say, see, we need to do this. And so, unfortunately for BHD, I think that you can expect more of the same, because I can't see those AFSCME employees sitting around once again waiting to get kicked to the street and lose their benefits and lose their seniority and lose all the other things that the income maintenance workers just lost. Was it 2 or 3 years ago when, again, we did this, you know, the synchronized stripping of the county from this program, which is basically what this is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. I would like to hear from Dave Eisner and Jeff Weber.
Ashley, good afternoon now, Chairman and County Board Supervisors. My name is Dave Eisner. I'm from AFSCME District Council 48. I'd like to elaborate, too, and give a little history on the retention bonus and as it came up to today's meeting. Thursday at the BHD Town Hall meetings, Jim Kubicek, the interim administrator, announced that all of the items that were on the agenda for both health and human needs, finance, personnel, and audit were removed because of this Act 203 taking effect. So, we basically came to IGR on Friday. Myself and Mr. Weber were there, and we listened to the comments made during a presentation by the lobbyists for the county and Corp Counsel. And during the presentation, Corp Counsel clearly indicated that as far as the retention bonus plan, that you know, the policy associated with it couldn't be enacted, couldn't be voted on by the either committee, but that the funding and a fund transfer could be, that that was, you know, legal to do that under the Act, and that that, you know, could be done at the meetings, and then, you know, the basically the policy piece of it would have to be taken up then by the new mental health board. And upon hearing that and understanding that the items were no longer on the agendas, I made an appeal to both the chair of this, the co-chairs of this committee and the chair of Health and Human Needs over the weekend to restore those items, well, at least the retention bonus plan, back to the agendas, so at least it could be considered in some action taken, meaning in, you know, reference to Corp Counsel, that the funding and transfer of that, the fund transfer could be accomplished. And again, you know, it's here, it's being considered, you know, actions being taken, and that's what we asked for. As far as the retention bonus, we had a little conflict with the department ourselves because our understanding was it was supposed to come back in January before the county board committees and then the full county board with a plan, because it was alleged that at budget time there was no plan. And for whatever reason, Mr. Weber was more intricately involved with it than I was. You know, there was the money was used for, I think, a reduction in health care. And then the department indicated to us that it would be put back in the 2015 budget, and we said that's not our understanding. So since that time, about the third week of January, myself, Mr. Weber, and the nurses, and some of the officers of Local 170, along with DHD administration, the DHHS director at one point, Hector Clone, and HR from Milwaukee County, have been meeting and conferring to try to come up with a better plan than what was initially presented to us when we raised the question. You know, we had a lot of discussion about it. Some things were changed. Most things, in fact, we don't object to in its present form. We just have one dispute over someone being disqualified for using FMLA unpaid time. We think that legally there's a problem with that, but they claim Corp Counsel okayed it. So that's the plan that was supposed to be accompanying that, but you could do nothing about. So in the meantime, yeah, it's here. I mean, yesterday I had a card set to speak at Health and Human Needs, but, you know, much as some of the committee members today kind of telegraphed what their position was on it, every member of the committee yesterday basically said, we don't feel we can vote on this, and we're not going to. So there was no point in testifying. But today I think you need to hear the background and how this came to be. What the impact right now of not approving the funding and fund transfer for this is that as BHD is going through this staffing crisis, they're hiring a lot of people to come in there to fill the vacancies they've had for a while. People are leaving, as Supervisor Roma West indicated, constantly. And what they're getting from not only the hiring process but from these temp agencies are a lot of CNAs, for instance. I'll speak to the classification I work with, that have training as a CNA in a nursing home or some other facility, but not a mental health complex, not a behavioral health division. So when they come there, pretty quickly they find out this isn't for me. So the department has been unable at this point as they hire people. They're telling them it's short-term employment, much like you go to Kohl's and work during Christmas time. You know, it's 6 weeks. When it's over, it's done. That's kind of how they're communicating. We've asked them to do that because let people be clear as how they're being hired. So they're being hired with the knowledge that it's not long-term employment. It's going to be for a short period of time. However, based upon the status of the retention bonus, cannot tell them that there will be a retention bonus if you stick around until the end. They can't say that because it's not in place. So that's the impact right now. I mean, if you delay this today by whatever action you take, then, you know, what will happen is, fine, you know, it'll have to be dealt with the mental health board, but it will be dealt with. But so when that board finally comes in place and then they decide to have a meeting, a couple months have passed, and, you know, now we're getting to where closures are coming into play and they're short-staffed. People have been working mandatory overtime there on all three shifts since Valentine's Day. So we're heading on 3 months there, and there's no relief or reprieve in sight. So I just wanted to bring those facts to your attention. As far as for, you know, the contention by Corp Counsel, both at IGR at yesterday's meeting, and I think it was referenced today, that, you know, they'll be subject to the protections of civil service and, you know, not the status quo, We strongly beg to differ with both Corp Council and the County Executive. I have the version of the status quo that was passed in December of 2013. I'd just like to read the paragraph to you so everyone's clear. This is our position, and this is right from the ordinance. It says, notwithstanding any provision of these ordinances to the contrary, for employees who hold positions that were included within the certified bargaining unit represented by ASME as of January 30th, 2012, all provisions of the 2007-08 collective bargaining agreement between ASME and Milwaukee County are adopted by reference and incorporated herein, except as set forth in the following paragraph, until such time that the County Board of Supervisors and the County Executive can consider other action. That language is plain and clear to me as the nose on my face. So, I mean, the Corp Council and County Executive ably, the status quo is in effect, and we're going to enforce that that be followed. And, you know, quite frankly, much as there's consequences for employees who violate civil service rules, I got to think there's consequences for public elected officials who violate county ordinances. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Weber. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eiser. Mr. Weber.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Weber. I'm with the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. I'm also a frontline employee at BHD. I work second shift, acute care float. For many months, I have been sounding the alarm, trying to point out that we are going into a staffing crisis at BHD. Finally, after 9 months of a hiring practice that didn't even keep up with attrition rates of people retiring, resigning, so on and so forth, we're finally starting to hire CNAs and nurses. This retention plan can be looked at in two ways. Number one can be used to look at retaining longtime employees that are at jeopardy of losing their position. It can also be looked at as a hiring incentive. Anybody that comes in is considered at risk these days because with the downsizing, they may be laid off due to bumping rights. So I'm encouraging you to take a look at it from a hiring perspective. It will allow administration to move forward with hiring and bringing people in when they do know that they are at risk. Right now, we're just telling them you're at risk and you may not have a job in 3 months or 4 months whenever the layoffs begin. But at least with this plan in place, they would be eligible for this retention plan if they were to get bumped and laid off. I encourage you to okay and approve the $500,000 for this plan. It is not a perfect plan, but it is a plan that, as Dave said, we have sat down with administration and discussed and came up with an agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions of the gentleman before they leave the table? Supervisor Lipscomb.
I'm sorry. No, it's a question.
Mr. Chair, it's a question for Corp Counsel. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering whether it was accurate the way it was described, that essentially that the item in front of us may be appropriately laid over the call of the chair, because with respect to adopting a policy, that's not an appropriate action at this time, but that the fund transfer, which is in the fund transfer packet, is really the only action we can take. So whether or not we separate that item out and do something with it is really the only action we should be taking with respect to the issue.
Corporation Counsel Barber.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, certainly you have the ability to do the fund transfer if you choose to. If you choose to send the money out to BHD and let them apply it how they see fit, or the Mental Health Board, that's your choice, certainly. I don't think that... If I understand your question correctly, you cannot dictate the parameters of the retention plan or who might be eligible or anything like that. You could, I suppose, provide suggestions, but you wouldn't have the ability to set the provisions of the retention plan.
But the other part was, with respect to the resolution in front of us, I think you indicated early, or it was indicated through somebody, by somebody, I think Mr. Eisner spoke of a Thursday meeting, and it was implied that to approve of this, to adopt this, would not be appropriate, given the mental health board, the fact that that this Act 203 went into effect Thursday.
Well,
because what we don't want to do is we want to obey the law. We can be as obstinate and as independent as we want to, but if there is a law signed by the governor, then we have to consider that as the law.
Mr. Chairman, I think you don't have the power, this county board does not have the power now to set policy at the mental health center at BHD. So to the extent that the resolution contains certain policy provisions or program provisions, that is outside of your statutory jurisdiction now. But the county board would have the ability to transfer funds, if it saw fit, for use by the mental health board.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. Any questions of Mr. Barber? Supervisor Cole.
No, just a comment on that. So I agree with Mr. Bargren's assessment. The county board has no authority over policy. So then they just come to us and ask us for money. And, the state legislature created this situation. They came in for ShotSpotter, found $175,000 for ShotSpotter. If they want to, if they want to run the system, take it over. This has always been, since I've been on the board a couple of years, I've always viewed the BHD as a day-to-day purview of the county executive. And now it's completely out of our hands. And so if something goes wrong there, previously it was, the board was kind of guilt by association. Mm-hmm. If there was a problem with an employee, a problem with a patient, it was like, yeah, that county board, can't they get their act together and fix this? Well, now it's pretty clear. We're going to have an independent board running this. It's appointed by the governor. And we'll let the chips fall where they may. But this idea of an independent, non-elected board, and I asked Mr. Bargren at IGR, does he know of any other entity within the state that has this, an independent group that can just set a property tax levy and say, give it to the elected officials and say, here, you do this. I know he hadn't done extensive research, but he didn't have one as of that day. I don't know if he has one today, but...
MATC.
Excuse me?
MATC.
MATC? So, I'm just uncomfortable with that as being someone who's an elected official by 50,000 people in Milwaukee County who expect that we're taking care of these things. They don't follow this. They don't know who runs BHD, whether the state took it over. They're gonna blame us still. So I'm very uncomfortable with this. And as you said, the county executive is the man. So I'll let him take responsibility when things don't go well, and take all the accolades when things do go well. And I hope things do go well. And I hope he does a good job managing this, because it's out of our hands.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a motion to table item 13. Any other comments to the motion? Yes, ma'am. Please identify yourself.
Yes, hi. My name is Jennifer Bergerson. I'm the interim deputy administrator at the Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Division. I, too, want to just express to the supervisors here the issue at hand that I am talking about is the appropriate level of staffing at the Behavioral Health Division. Politics aside, if I may, this retention bonus is put in place, and we've worked hard in discussion with our labor in order to identify an appropriate process and plan in order to retain employees. And ultimately, we're here to ensure that the patient care is in place and we have adequate numbers of staff in place for that. I wanted to make sure that I presented that here to this committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Roma-West.
Thank you. There's been a whole lot of conversation here today, and I just want to leave this as the bottom line. The bottom line is that this board, this committee, no longer has the authority to, in my opinion, and I believe the opinion of Corporation Counsel, to move on this item. So therefore, unfortunately, our hands are tied. There's a lot of places I can tell you with this legislation where our hands are going to be tied. Like when the Mental Health Board gives the budget to the county executive and the county executive does something polar from what the Mental Health Board wants, there's no recourse from this board. And so I just want to be very clear today that, yes, there was a lot of statements made and there were a lot of comments made and there are politics involved, but this particular item before us, the only appropriate motion that we can make is to table it. Because we are not able to, by state legislature action, not able to act upon it. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And give me your name one more time.
Jennifer Bergerson.
All right. Interim director, correct?
Interim deputy.
Interim deputy. How long have you been in that position?
I've been in the county since 1999, interim deputy for last year or so.
Last year or so, okay.
Yeah.
We heard reports of hiring staff actually taking it upon themselves to tell applicants or potential applicants that Milwaukee County wasn't hiring. That was made known in Health Committee. Were you aware of that?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Okay. And I know Jim Kubicek as well, admin, also, you know, noted that, you know, there was no investigation into this, but it was very clear from staff and even from the union that people were applying for jobs at BHD, and they were told that Milwaukee County was not hiring at the time. And you're saying that that did not reach you, nor did you ever find out about that?
No, sir.
Okay.
If I may clarify, I understand that there were concerns about the number of staff that were needed for particular positions, and that's a joint venture between our Human Resource Department, our nursing organization, as well as administration, to identify vacancies in order to fill appropriately by need.
In the previous month for Health and Human Needs, I asked for a specific report around staffing, and that made it public that there were 15% of the positions full-time in BHD that were vacant, and a majority of those were, you know, total of 41 certified nursing assistants, 22 registered nurses. From the report of 2013, in the budget, those are all funded positions. So the money is there. We did our due diligence in making sure that that was the amount that they needed. We provided the money, and it still wasn't funded. The fact that that is a day-to-day operation, where even if we are helping in the recruitment process and telling people in our districts, hey, apply to BHD, work there, you know, and they are being denied to positions that are already funded, I don't know what else you want me to do as a policymaker. And then, you know, the fact that that could be blamed on me as a policymaker is absurd. And I think For this solution, that this retention bonus, and it did come to us in the board during the budget and was denied, based on the plan that the county executive had, But again, the information is not here, and I have no problem allowing the new board to move forward addressing these concerns as the new policymakers that actually have the power to do something about BHD. It's unfortunate that it panned out that way, but I think that there's just no way that you can say because the board didn't pass a retention package in the tune of $500,000 for positions that should have already been filled, of working with a private company to help staff those positions, and that private company not be held liable and accountable to help in staffing these positions, is absurd. So I just wanted to state that for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Did you want to add something? Please identify yourself again.
I'm Randy Olzak, Fiscal Administrator, Department of Health and Human Services. I just want to touch on that. Although we do have, vacant positions, from a funding perspective, because of that, we've incurred a lot of overtime that has consumed some of that funding, and we have been vigorously trying to hire, as our people have stated over the last several months. As far as the retention plan is concerned, we do have, I guess the plan is specific to individuals in Hilltop and Central that are closing. What I guess makes it a little confusing is the bumping rights and who would ultimately be impacted. But in the plan itself, most of the people who would receive retention bonuses are the ones on the floor actually performing patient care. There's about 46 CNAs that we believe would be impacted, 11 LPNs and 10 RNs, which make up the majority of the 76 positions that would be impacted, and that is where the retention bonus would be applied.
Thank you very much. So, thank you. We have a motion to table. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurcik?
Excuse.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend that item number 13 be tabled prevails.
Item 14, and then we'll take a break. Supervisor.